door could not be found. Heaven's walls were great and high, all inside was safe and sound. But God, who so loved mankind, who yet made and given breath, knew that to redeem them, the price to pay was death. No search was made to find someone who would take this dreadful chore. 'Cause only one, God's only Son, could be heaven's only door. The angels knew once he was gone, a song would not be sung. But a door to heaven is of no use unless on earth it's hung. A door was hung at Calvary. Door of death he soon would go, our great ransom paid for life. Once inside, the door was sealed. Satan thought he'd won the war, but it's no secret how death was conquered. The key was in the door. A door was hung at Calvary. Standing open wide, eternal life is waiting for all who step inside. And what has become earth's greatest gain was heaven's greatest loss. Heaven's door was hung at Calvary, and it hinges on
good to see everyone this morning, but especially Brother Scott. And as we were pulling on property this morning, my wife, with her very encouraging words, says, "I wonder if Brother Scott and Miss Kathy's here." And immediately, my brain starts to reel and go back to choir practice last week when he said, "You know, if Ben shows up this week, Brother Kirby's going to be leading music and choir special." And I'm thinking, oh. So I go downstairs, and normally I put the chairs out, and I see Miss Kathy, and I'm like, okay, there's one. So I go out the door, and I see Brother Scott in the driveway there getting some things out of his car. He almost got a hug if it were not for an indelible gender line that is never to be blurred or crossed. And so anyway, just good to be here and good to be able to serve. And if you have your Bibles this morning, let's open them up to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, chapter number 9. Verse number 18, as we begin our reading this morning. The Bible says this: "And while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, "If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole." But Jesus turned about him, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house, he saw the minstrels and the people making noise. And he said unto them, "Give place." And the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Verse 25. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame hereof went abroad into all the land. This morning, with the Lord's help, we're going to be preaching on this subject, the woman with the issue of blood. Brother Piper, sir, would you open us up in prayer, please? Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't deal very well with interruptions, especially at work. I'm a maintenance tech, many of you know, out there on the base, and there's times that I've got jobs that I've got to really pay attention and be on the ball. And a couple weeks ago, I was on call, and I went out, and this lady had a leak in her washroom. I got there, and she was really excited on the phone when I talked to her. I mean, very excited. You would think that the Ark was parked out in front of her house, and that bad things were happening. I walked in, and water, it was so funny, opened up the back door, and water is rolling out the steps. I'm like, "Oh, that is a leak." I'm like, "This is bad." So I go and I shut the water off, and I get cleaning it up, and it was so funny. There's a boat, a little kid's boat that's floating in the middle of the washroom, and things I see at work. And I get another call, and I'm like, "Okay." So I'm standing here, and I'm snaking out this line, and I pick up the phone, and the operator says, "Hey, there's a gas leak over there on, it wasn't Carswell, it was just over there a block over." So I go over, and I come out in the yard, and I pull up, and there's family out there, and they're all outside, and say, "Well, we cleared the house because there was a gas leak." And I locked down the gas leak, and they had this little bitty girl. She's maybe about 4 or 5. You know, the really evil age where they have the pony or the pigtails, and they look so cute, and they got those really villainous eyes, and they can ask you to do anything, and you're gullible enough or dumb enough to do it. And, you know, and she looked up at me, and she goes, "Thank you for fixing our house. Mommy didn't mean to break it." I'm like, "It's okay. I got it. Got it. You know, I left my cape in the truck. We're all good. You can go in and play now. Everything's fine." And I go back over to that other house, and I forgot what I was doing. I'm like, I get over there, and I'm like, "Now, what was I doing again?" I mean, all my tools are scattered all over the place. And so I had to collect myself and get back to work. Well, in our text tonight, or this morning, this is exactly what we have. We've got the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been preaching there in the synagogue, and he's finishing up. And there was a man who was a ruler of the synagogue who come in, and he said, and he began to talk to the Lord about his daughter. And his little girl was sick unto death. Matter of fact, in our text this morning, it says she had already died. And so he says, "Now, if you can just come to my house, you can help my daughter." Now, I want you to picture in your mind Jesus, this distraught father. Many of you who've had children and have had sick kids especially can just picture the look on this daddy's face. Now, I remember when I broke my elbow, my dad showed up, and my elbow's flopping around. And I remember the look on my dad's face. It was one of horror and the thought of how am I going to pay for this and all sorts of things. But I remember the look on his face. It was of concern, and he was really worried about me. Well, I can just imagine that father's face as they're pressing through the crowd. The alternate text here in Mark 5 says that the crowd was thronging him. Literally, it was so hard to pass through the crowd that day that more than likely they were pushing people out of the way. So I want you to just imagine the scene. And here you have this distraught father. The master is right behind him, his 12 disciples. And then all of a sudden, you have this little woman, this little bitty sick woman, touch the Lord's hem of his garment. And he stops right in the middle of the road and turns around and says this, "Who touched me?" And the text says in Mark 5 that he felt virtue leave his body. And his disciples looked at him and said, "Lord, how are we going to know who touched you?" Now, I know what Peter was thinking. I am not in charge of security detail. I don't know what happened. Because that's what I would have been thinking. I'm like, it was not my week to walk behind you. It's somebody else's fault. It's Brother Scott's, not mine. And here this little woman is, trembling. And many of the Bible scholars, they call this a parenthetical. It's, I want you to imagine like you have one event, but it gets chopped in half, and you got a pair of parentheses stuck in there, and you have another event in the middle of that. So here we have Jesus going to heal this little girl, but right in the middle of it, you have this woman who stops him with an issue of blood. And that's what we're looking at this morning. And I was reading through some commentaries, and one actually had the audacity to say this, that this was a nuisance to the Lord. Can I go ahead and say this? That guy's got a couple bolts loose. Here's the thing. We're not a nuisance to the Lord. He loves us. He knew about this little woman's problem, and he stopped. And he cares about us. He cares enough to stop and listen to the repentant cry of a lost soul crying out to the Lord to be merciful to him. Isaiah 59 verse 1 says this, "Behold, the Lord is not, Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear." So we're going to put that entire notion to rest this morning. God is not too busy to care for you and I. So here we have this little woman here, and she has this issue of blood. She's at the end of herself, and she is turning to the only one that can help her. This morning, we're going to be preaching on this subject, and we're going to first look at her condition. You see, this condition she had, this issue of blood, was monstrous to bear in the ancient world. They didn't have things that we like to refer to as modern medicine, and it was very hard when you had a disease like this. This woman suffered from this condition, and the word that's used in our text here is a medical term that meant hemorrhaging. So she had constant bleeding. We don't know where it was from. The text doesn't go into it. And to be honest with you, I don't want to talk about that on a Sunday morning. Here's the thing. This poor woman was sick. She was weak. She was feeble. Now, I can remember when my mom was so sick when I was in Bible college, one night, she hemorrhaged in her esophagus, and she lost four and a half units of blood. She had six pumped into her by the time I made it from Springfield to Poplar Bluff. And when I got there, she was white. She was very weak. She couldn't talk. And I can just imagine the sight of this poor little woman without the aid of blood transfusions. She's sick. She was in pain. She had a pretty miserable life. Now with that, her life must have been very complicated because this issue of blood, it caused her physical misery every day. She's more than likely ostracized. She had a great deal of social and spiritual misery as well. Do you realize the book of Deuteronomy and the law that this poor woman wasn't allowed to go into the temple because of her physical condition? She was so sick she couldn't go to church for 12 years. Now, I'm not sure if you realize this, but they didn't have the internet then. So she couldn't download and listen to messages. She wasn't getting fed like she ought to because she couldn't go to temple. So here she was, stuck. Like we said, this had lasted for 12 long years. She'd been battling this disease, and relief seemed no nearer than when it first began. This disease was not only wasting her body, but it was wasting her spirit as well. Misery from a problem becomes greater to bear when the problem stays with you for a long time. People with chronic pain tend to get discouraged. People with a chronic illness tend to face depression from time to time. Her condition declined. Mark 5 tells us that she had not only grown worse in her condition, but there was no sign of improvement. Year after year, her hope of being cured seemed to fade away. You know, this lady's condition reminds me a lot of sin. It just eats at you. And it's got a process. I'm sure that she first started showing some symptoms. And it got worse and worse and worse. Turn over to James chapter 1. We know this text, but it always helps to review. James chapter 1. Verse number 1, verse 13, the Bible says this. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then with lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. You know, sin has a process. It starts in our eyes, and then it moves to our heart. It festers for a little bit. Infection spreads, and it moves to our actions. Then when it moves to our actions, it goes into consequences. Here this little woman is, and her disease is progressing. And just like sin, she didn't get any better. You know, the book of Hebrews even says that there's pleasure in sin, but just for a season. It always ends badly. Sin will always come to collect. It will always find you out. This woman's continual decline and worsening with this hemorrhage gives us another situation here where the power of Christ is going to be gloriously displayed. It seems as if the Lord delights in doing the impossible. You know, think of it like this. A person that you've been praying for and to be saved and have even said that it's impossible for them to be saved. You know what? The Lord really specializes in the impossible. This poor woman had tried everything. The doctors in her situation were of no avail. Not surprisingly, she went to many, many, many doctors, and she'd gotten more than a second opinion. Doctor after doctor she trudged. You know, this case illustrates the frustration of the sinner who doesn't seek Christ for the remedy of their problems. You know, sin is often masked in its consequences. They go from thing to thing to seeking another, trying to get relief. One thing fails and then on to the next. They try escape. They seek counsel. They try to self-medicate. They try self-help, but all to none avail. You know, here's a deep thought this morning. Only God knows how to make my life work.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I tell you, people oftentimes try to mask their sin. They try to put it away. They try to just dull the effects of it, but they never deal with the problem. The text said that she had suffered at the hand of those many doctors. Historians tell us that the cures for these conditions are often more painful than the disease. If any of you have had the malaria shot in the service, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I would much rather have malaria than the malaria shot. Look, in a lot of these cures, it involved mixing several minerals and herbs and boiling them in wine, and then they had to ingest them. These concoctions would cause vomiting, cramps, and all sorts of issues. No wonder she was getting worse. You know, people do the same thing when they seek relief from their sins. They try, like I said, to self-medicate. They try alcohol, drugs. They try to hide it. They try to conceal it. They try to excuse it. They sometimes seek humanistic ways to deal with it, only to realize the sinner cannot help themselves, that they come to the end of themselves. You know, sometimes we as Christians have issues too that we have to deal with. Kind of like this woman, we towed him around for a long time and never deal with them. I remember one time when I was in Eldon, I'd been wrestling with something for about a month. I had pneumonia. I was sick. I was very tired and weak, and I'd been just trying to get over this pneumonia. I had it for like 35 days when I went to the doctor the fourth time. And I walked in, and I'm sitting down. My doctor was gone, Dr. Griswold, and he used to say mean things, dumb things, like, you're not preaching this weekend, and you're not going door knocking. And I was not a very good patient, I admit. Okay, that's what I was called there to do, and I was going to do it. So here I was in the doctor's office, and the nurse practitioner come up and looked at me. She goes, Pastor, you don't look good. I was like, well, I'm just kind of struggling with some stuff, and I'm just just want to get over this pneumonia, and I just want some antibiotics. She's like, okay, well, we'll give you that. She goes, are you under any stress? It's like that's like asking a wheel, are you feeling round? You know, feeling round today, wheel? I'm like, oh, yeah, but who doesn't? And she goes, well, how about I give you a little something to take the edge off? I was calm for the first millisecond. And I just looked at her. I was like, ma'am, do you realize that I'm going through a spiritual issue right now? And if I take that stuff and dull my head, I'm not going to be able to get to the bottom of what's going on. I don't want it. And she blinked. Like, she told me, I've been practicing medicine now as a nurse practitioner for about 10 years, and I've never heard anybody say that. I'm like, well, maybe they should start. Look, here's the thing. We need to learn how to deal with our issues instead of trying to hide them and not deal with them. Too many times, lost folks and saved people alike want to just pretend like they're four and close their eyes and everything goes away. Well, it doesn't. It just gets worse and worse and worse, just like this little woman here. She had spent all that she had seeking relief. You know, doctors were expensive then, just like they are now. I had a chest x-ray not too long ago. I got the bill. I'm glad I didn't have a heart condition because I almost had caught a heart attack when I opened up the bill. I'm thinking they shined a flashlight on me, and the guy looked at a piece of paper and said, yeah, you're okay. And they're going to charge me that. That's a lot. Man, I'm telling you, it's crazy what it costs. So she spent all that she had. Do you realize this morning that sin is going to eat up all that you got and all that you ever will have? It's going to devour everything you got. You know, we as Christians, when we don't deal with our issues and they drive a wedge between us and the Lord, we miss out on so much. It cost us so much.
That's right.
So much time that can't be gone back and gotten again. We get our feelings hurt. We stop serving God. Or we stop talking to a brother or sister. You know, if Brother Auger was to make me mad and I wouldn't talk to him and I sat behind him like I do every week and not talk to him for years and years, just think of all the cat stories I'm going to miss out on because I didn't make it right with Brother Auger. I'm telling you, I love Brother Auger's cat stories. I'm telling you. That's one of the reasons I sit there. I'm not spiritual. I just want to find out what he's got. I'm kidding. But we miss out on so much. We miss out on opportunity to serve, fellowship, all because we don't deal with it. Now, this woman was a very, very smart lady. You see, she had heard about Jesus, and she decided to go to see him and do something about it. How many's ever been working on something before, and you hear of a way to fix something, you decide, you know what, I'm going to try that. You know, I was working one day on call. I got called out, and I'm working on this hot tank, and I can't get it to stay lit. And at 2 in the morning, my patients are pretty thin. I'm not really fun to be around, especially after I got woke up. And so I'm there, and I'm working on this poor lady's hot tank and trying to get it to work. And I remember something that I heard in training. So I decided I'd try it. And lo and behold, you know what happened? The hot tank kicked on and stayed on. I'm like, wow, that was amazing. It actually worked. You know, somebody took the time to tell this little woman about Jesus and what he's been doing there in Capernaum. I don't know who did it. We don't even know this woman's name or who stopped and told her. But somebody told this woman about Jesus Christ. Somebody took the time to stop and say, let me tell you what Jesus did the last time I saw him. The last time I seen him, he was over in Gadara. And he got out of the boat, and this guy was running around half naked and had chains hanging around him, and he had enough demons to run 10,000 hogs into the sea This guy, I would say, is much worse off than you are, ma'am. And I went into town, come back, and I saw that same guy clothed in his right mind, sitting down at the feet of Jesus, listening to him teach and wanting to go with him. I don't know what he can do for you, but I know what he did for that man. And I know what he did for me.
Yeah.
You know, this Tuesday, it was the 17th of June. 15 years ago, somebody told me about Christ. My wife, I was sitting in the living room. My wife pulled out a testimony from a pastor in East Prairie, Missouri. And she began to read it. And I got under conviction that night. And I got saved. And let me tell you, I've not gotten over what God did in my heart that day. But if it hadn't been for somebody telling me about Christ, I never would have went to him in the first place. Can I encourage you? Tell somebody about Christ. Here this woman is. She got told about Jesus and she came to him. And, you know, she had determined in her heart that she had to go to Christ. I want you to know this morning this. If you're here and you're lost today or you've got an issue that you just can't shake, knowing Jesus Christ makes you free. Look, if you're lost, Jesus can help you. If you have issues you've been dealing with, hurts, offenses, Jesus Christ can help you. Look, she was very persistent in her coming. Like I said earlier, she was weak and she had to push her way through a mob. Picture this. Sunday night after church, people are fellowshipping and you're wanting to go to McDonald's and the aisle is packed like normal and you're trying to make it to your vehicle without your wife stopping and touching everybody between here and there. She is thronging everybody. Nuggets are getting cold, woman. We got to go. So here she is pushing her way through the crowd, just trying to get through. And it's so tight that Mark said that they didn't even know who was touching who. And here this little woman is, just kind of weaving through the crowd, shoving her way in, pushing through, squeezing by. Excuse me, pardon me, pardon me, excuse me. She gets up, and she doesn't even talk to the Savior. She just touches his hem. Pow. I want to say this. That just goes to show, when somebody's under conviction and they need to get saved, they are going to get saved and you're not going to be able to talk them out of it. Here this poor woman is. She touches his hem and the text says immediately the fountain of blood dried up within her and she knew it. Can I go ahead and just give you a bit of encouragement this morning? When you meet the Savior and He does His work in your heart, you know it.
Amen.
You know it. 1 John chapter 5 says this, and that you may know that you are the sons of God. And what I like about that, it never goes away. It never comes back. My lost condition doesn't come back. There's no waiting period. There's no trial period. It's all done right then and there. It's immediate. And it's thorough. It's efficacious. My sins were forgiven. I was justified. I was born again unto salvation. This woman's issue of blood was dried up then and there, Brother Steve. It was gone. No more hemorrhaging. No more pain. No more not being able to go to temple. No more doctor's office trips. She was whole. When a person comes to Christ and they're saved, there's no more condemnation. There's no more guilt. There's no more fear. God does a work in your heart. I talked about, we got to deal with it this morning in Sunday school. He gives us a new heart. I'm all into that. And He takes us from that lost person and He puts in us a new heart, and we're a new creature. And we went from being at enmity to being in a state of conflict with God, to being at peace with God, to being a son of God, to being in the family of God.
Amen.
And it just starts getting better from there. You know, I got saved. It was a Thursday. I called my pastor. I was just so excited about it. And I remember I called Pastor Healy on the phone. I was like, Pastor? He's like, Brother John, what can I do for you? I was like, I got a candidate for baptism this week. And he goes, really? Who is it? I was like, I put my hand on the phone. I was like, hey, watch this, Chrissy. I was like, me. Dead silence on the phone. He goes, I'll be right there. He come in the door. He's like, Brother Kirby, you okay? It's like, I am now. Let me tell you what happened. And it was so good. I told him how I've been bothered by having, by just the thought of the rapture scared me stupid. I mean, it was just terrifying that I get left behind and, you know, my wife would be gone and I couldn't find my socks and it would just be bad. And then I had to face all those things that would happen in the book of Revelation. Not that the socks was bad enough, but, you know. So here I was. I got saved, and I told him all those fears are gone. And he goes, great. You need to get baptized now. I was like, I know. Let's do it. And he goes, okay, where do you want to do it at? And the thought of me going into our baptistry in that church is terrifying. Still is terrifying. It was a concrete box. It had cracks in it. And I thought, that building was so old, they dug the basement with a mule-drawn sled. I mean, it was old. You could look through the side of the building, and there was cracks in where the tuck joints are in the bricks. That was air conditioning, where the wind was coming through. I thought, they fill that up, the whole thing's going to fall in. And I told Pastor, let's do it at the river. He's like, good idea. I got baptized on the 20th. Just by being obedient, all these blessings started to come into my life because I dealt with my issue. This woman could go back to and start living a normal life again because she dealt with her issues. And I want to tell you this. If you've been toting around an issue as long as this lady had, you need to deal with them. You know, so many times God's people are defined by what happened to them. It's like they are shackled to their issue. And they tote it around on a chain in a box like some pet. And they never deal with it. Their whole life seemed to have shut down and stopped at that point in history in their life. And now they're marked by what happened. Can I say this? Issues should never define us. They're brought into your life to develop you. You know, I tell you, God loves you too much to leave you in the state that you are, that you were when you got saved.
Amen. Yes.
You know, a lot of folks having babies, me and my wife know. I mean, they're coming out all over the place. But you know what? Those kids are going to grow. I remember when my nephew was born, he was ugly. He was. Ugly kid. He looked just like my brother. Ears coming out. Ugly. But he's gotten much better looking. He's starting to look like me. So he's growing. And Connor is growing, and he is just, man, he's going to be in first grade this year. God help his first grade teacher. Whew, I'm telling you what. But he's growing up. And the other day, he finally got the courage up to take his own training wheels off and ride down the street. I wasn't there. My dad was telling me about it. He told me that he snuck up in the shed, got my dad's keys, opened them up, and he grabbed a bunch of wrenches. I don't know where he got this from because dad never showed me how to be a mechanic. And he ran down the driveway and took his training wheels off, kindergartner, chucked them off to the side and took off down the road. Now, he got about four houses down before he found the ditch, but he came back riding again and up and down. And he hadn't had training wheels since. He's growing. He's getting bigger. He's getting stronger. Can I say this? We have issues in our life to grow us. And when you can't get over that issue, you stop growing. And you minimize your effectiveness for Christ because you are stuck. And you can't go to the Savior and just touch the hem of His garment. You say, well, I just don't know if the Lord can fix this. Have you not been awake for this? He dried up a woman's issue of blood for 12 years, And she just didn't even say anything to him. She just snuck up behind him and touched him. And you don't think that God can fix what's broke in your life? What's going on? Putting this off or hiding it or ignoring it, is that really helping the situation? How many times have we met people that have just been so bitter, so angry at God for years because they never would deal with their issues? Can't tell you how many people I've met that said, I can't ever go back to church because somebody hurt my feelings. I'm telling you what, they're stuck. They're stuck. It's going to take just a little bit of faith on your part to go and to touch the Savior and to go and talk to Him about what's going on in your life. Don't be stuck like this woman. Go and deal with it. Now I want you to imagine the look on that woman's face when Jesus turned around and He said, "Who touched me?" It would probably be like me when I was a little kid getting caught doing something. And the look of terror on her face. She was afraid. And I just want you to imagine just what the Lord did. Walked over to her. Now, we don't know. It's not really recorded. But use your imagination. It's okay. Just plug it back in for a minute, and then you can unplug it when you leave. Walks over, maybe puts his hand on her shoulder and looks her in the eyes and says, "Thy faith has made thee whole." She had enough faith in the Lord to trust Him and to act. You know, we as God's people have enough faith to place in Christ for salvation for all of eternity, but why don't we have enough faith to trust Him with our everyday affairs? With these little issues that come up in our life that just plague us. Our loneliness, our sadness, our heaviness of heart, some sin that's been dragging, we've been dragging around for years, but yet we don't ever deal with it. I don't know about you, but I would imagine that the faith I had to have in Christ when I got saved was much more than the faith I would have to have in Christ to deal with my issue. Because if I've seen Him work in my salvation, what makes me think that He won't work in my dealing with my issue? We just have to trust Him. He has the answer. You know, the Bible declares this of itself, that it has everything we need for every issue that's going to crop up in our life, according to 1 Peter. Everything. All things that pertain to life and godliness, to the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. To all issues, not some, not part, not half, not fractions, all issues. Everything that pops up, the Word of God has an answer for it. Amen. Jesus has declared it in His Word. Now it's up to us to find the answers and apply it to our life. And we can deal with these issues, and we can have joy, peace, fulfillment, and purpose in our life. But until we deal with that thing, we're going to be stopped right there on the road. Hey, what would have happened to this poor woman if she wouldn't have went through the crowd and put out some effort and go deal with her issue? She probably would have died. What's going to happen if you don't put out the effort to go deal with your issue? You're going to stay the same way you are and get worse. You know, there's one particular guy in the VA that I love to see. He wasn't there this week, Brother John. Brother John lost a leg not too long ago. I think he had diabetes, and he's so sweet. He's a bus captain. And I don't know, I've got affinities with bus captain. I was a bus kid. I was a mean bus kid. And I love bus captains because my bus captain never gave up on me, even when I was old. And Brother John told me he was a bus captain. And he was a little bit discouraged. And I was talking with him. And he dealt with some things. And he's so good. Every time I see him, he's singing. And I know he's sick. I know he's sick. But I push him back to his room when I get the chance. And a couple months ago, I was walking down the hall, and I'm pushing him, and he's singing. I think he was singing Amazing Grace. And we got to his room, and he says, "I don't sing very well." I was like, "I don't mind." I don't mind. Seeing the joy on that man's face made me realize that if I don't deal with what I'm going through right now, I am never going to have joy in my life. I am never going to have peace. And I don't want to grow up to be a grouchy old man sitting in a care facility with no friends, no family, all because I did not want to deal with my issue. I want to have joy and peace well into my older years and be able to minister to people because I dealt with my issue. I will never be able to do that if I do not go to the Savior. Amen. If you're here and you're lost today, you need to go to the Savior. You need to have a talk with Him. You need to repent and believe. The question is this morning is, are you willing to deal with your issue or not? Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around this morning.